God is good
all the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Today we celebrate Palm Sunday. And as a church family, we got the palms, we processed. When we think about procession, I know we had for the Phillies, when the World Series, Phillies won the World Series, we had a parade. We had a celebration, right? That was a procession. Even though we didn't play in the Phillies, maybe some of us were fans, some of us are not, we got to celebrate as a city their victory.
Amen.
And when the Eagles won the Super Bowl again, we got to celebrate a parade, a procession. So a procession is something we do in the sports, right? But we see that it's something we do even on our own personal life.
Amen.
When we received our first Holy Communion, we processed down the aisle.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Maybe you received it as a child, and when you know the children are receiving their first communion, they're dressed all in white. You know, if it's a boy, they have their suit. If it's a girl, they have their dress, and they may have a veil on their head. And they process to receive their first Holy Communion. And I remember reading about St. Maria Goretti, and she said when she first received her first Holy Communion, she was praying. And this was a time when you couldn't receive Holy Communion every day. Mass wasn't available every day. So she prayed for her prayer, her hope was not for anything for her parents. You know, some of the children, they were praying for their parents to receive a great crop. They were farmers. Others were praying for something that they wanted, one of the kids. Everybody prayed for something individual or material. The same Maria Goretti said, all she prayed for was to receive Jesus again.
Yes.
That was her prayer. Lord, may I receive you again. When she processed down the aisle, she wanted to receive the body and blood of Christ. And so we as a church family, we process to Christ. And we receive the body of Christ. And we say the words, amen. And then we process back to our pew. And we did the same for confirmation. We processed down the aisle and received the consecration of our confirmation. And we received the name of a new saint. And we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Right, I have an image of the Holy Spirit on my chasuble right now. We processed, right? Jesus, yesterday, when we look at the liturgy of Holy Week, he was weeping for Jerusalem. He was weeping for Jerusalem because he knew that when after he processed, they would celebrate his arrival, celebrate him as King of the Jews. But in the end, they would reject him. In the end, he would be crucified, and all of Jerusalem would be destroyed. The whole temple would be destroyed. And no longer will the faith reside in Jerusalem, but the faith will only reside in the church, wherever is established throughout the world. So Jesus wept, but when he processed, everyone rejoiced because Jesus wanted to have that victory celebrated before his resurrection. When you look at the Blessed Mother, she was born without sin, right? Everything Jesus did on the cross, he suffered and died on the cross. He won her salvation, right, at the cross. But he gave her the graces before she was born. So Jesus, when he's processing in Jerusalem, and everybody's singing, Hosanna in the highest, everybody's happy, everybody's joyous. This crowd, right, the Holy Spirit is somehow stirring them, and they're responding, they're rejoicing, right? Jesus as King. And Jesus wanted that to happen. He wanted them to rejoice in his victory before he even conquered Satan, the spirit of the world. And he did this for us. Amen? So he won, he's celebrating the victory before he even accomplished it. Because Jesus wanted that victory to be celebrated in Jerusalem. And everybody's celebrating. And the religious leaders, they're confused. Like, what's going on? Why are you calling him King of the Jews? Why are you singing Hosanna? What's going on? Why are you doing this for Jesus? They're surprised. They're confused. But Jesus said, even if they stopped singing, even a stone would still rejoice and shout out and praise in God. Even a stone. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
How did that happen? The stone did shout. How is it a stone able to shout praise to God? How is that even possible? That's possible because this church and all the churches around the world, in and of itself, proclaim praises to God.
Yes.
Amen?
Right.
When everyone sees this church, when they see the cathedral, they see all these churches that took not 10 years, not 20 years. It took, some of these churches took 100 years. People died before the church was even finished. People gave in a collection. They said, this is for God. I'm giving this for the glory of God. They didn't even see the church fully constructed. But they said, this church, their sacrifice is going to give glory to God. The church is going to praise God. Because the beauty of the church, no one cannot see the beauty of the church.
Amen.
Believers and non-believers. At one point, the cathedral basilica of St. Peter and Paul was the highest infrastructure in Philadelphia. Just think about that. We talk about skyscrapers in New York. You know, this is a great American innovation technology, right? It's the highest. It was the highest building in the world. But there were churches all around the world that were higher than any other infrastructure that was built for the glory of man. A castle built for a man that is a sinner, that will die, that cannot save anyone. But the King of Kings has a castle that's a church throughout the world. And every church proclaims Hosanna in the highest. Every church communicates that praise and glory to God. That's why Jesus said in another passage, even the stones will cry out and praise to God. And the children were praising God. The children that didn't even know how to pray or who our Lord was, even the Spirit stirred the children to give praise to God. This was our Lord's victory. You know, every one of us have experienced graduation from elementary school, right? We graduated from elementary school. We got our altar server here, Keith, who's going to be graduating in this June.
Man.
Shout out to Keith.
Okay.
I know you didn't like the shout out, Keith, but everybody else liked it. So many of our kids in our school, they're going to graduate. They're going to process. They're going to celebrate. Then you have a high school graduation. And maybe you graduated even from college. And you process with your cap and gown. And everybody celebrated your achievement. You know, what you did to make it to graduate from that institution. And all the work that it took. And we celebrate that. We celebrate that achievement. But Jesus, our Heavenly Father, he wanted to celebrate his son. He said, we got to celebrate. He wanted everybody to celebrate Jesus as King of Kings. Our Heavenly Father, he rejoiced. He was proud to see his son be acknowledged as king. His son being praised for the work of salvation that he was about to accomplish. Our Heavenly Father wanted this, and it happened. It happened. And it happened for us. And every year, we as a church celebrate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Amen?
Amen.
So our Lord reveals to us, you know, in the beginning of Christianity, when everybody was hiding, they didn't have the churches built, people would worship in a house. You know, some Christian that was wealthy, they would have a huge house, and that's where they would have mass. They would celebrate in that house. The way you could know, right, where to worship would be, they would draw an image of a fish. The image of a fish was that sign. The image of a fish was a symbol of Christ. And it was a symbol of his disciples. So if you saw the image of a fish, it was a sign that this is the house of a Christian. This is the house of someone who's a believer. And that was the secret sign, especially when they were being persecuted for their faith. But why a fish? Just think about it. Why a fish? A fish lives in the water. We as disciples of Christ, we don't live in the world, right? We don't live of the world, but we live in the world.
Yes.
So we live in the world, but we're not of the world.
Yes.
Meaning we use our money for the glory of God.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
We use our talents for the glory of God. Amen?
Yes.
We use our even our car for the glory of God. Amen?
Yes.
Our house. Amen?
Yes.
We use our car to get to Mass, right? We may pick up our brothers and sisters in Christ. We might know a parishioner, oh, they can't get to Mass. And we offer them that ride in our car for the glory of God. So we as the disciples, we use our possessions for God, to serve God. And we serve God by serving each other. Amen?
Amen.
So a fish lives in the water. It needs oxygen just like us. But it lives in the water and it keeps moving. A fish does not stop in its movement. It continues to process. It continues to move, right? A fish has to be alert. We have to be alert. Jesus said in the gospel, pray and watch. Amen?
Yes.
He gathered his three apostles. He said, look, we got to pray and we got to watch. Don't fall asleep. But they fell asleep over and over again. They fell asleep, right? They couldn't stay awake. But that's not just for the apostles. That's for us. Every day, we have to pray. Amen?
Amen?
And when we pray, the Holy Spirit gives us oxygen. He gives us life. Amen?
Amen?
So we are like fish. We live in the world, not of the world. We keep moving. And our oxygen is our prayers up to God. We pray to God. But not only do we pray to God, but the Lord himself prays for us. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is the big fish. He's the mediator between God and man. And so he's not in heaven just sitting around on his throne giving orders. He's interceding for us. Just as he interceded for the apostles when they were on the earth, when Our Lady was on earth, he interceded for them. But now they already made it, right? They're already entered the kingdom of heaven. But we're here and we're moving in that direction.
Okay.
We're processing every day by praying, by what we've done during this Lent, by doing penance, by fasting, by praying the stations of the cross. Every station, we as a church family, we move to one station to the next. We looked at each mystery and we acknowledge what God did and God does. Amen?
Yeah.
So we acknowledge what he did in his passion. He processed in his passion to the cross, to Calvary. And so we like the disciples of Christ, right? We are like the fish. We're moving, but we're moving in a direction which is Calvary. Because Jesus is the one who we follow. Jesus said, follow me. So we're alert. We stay alert. We're praying. We're doing penance. We're following the passion of Christ. We don't want to turn around, or we don't want to stand still, right? We don't want to turn around like Judas. Judas, he stopped following Jesus. He said, no, I'm not going to process to Calvary, right? He didn't want to process. Every one of us has the same choice, just like Judas. We can say, no. Lord, I'm not going to follow you to Calvary. I'm not going to come to church to worship. I'm going to not follow you. I'm going to follow me. We can be like Judas, or we can be like Our Lady. Our Lady said yes. How hard it was for her to say yes. The baby she held in her arms is the baby she sees suffering, going to Calvary in the most violent, gruesome death, right? He's suffering. He can barely walk. But Our Lady processed, not just at Jerusalem, but she processed to the cross. Peter said he was going to process, but he didn't. Right? He denied our Lord three times. Are we going to deny Jesus like Peter? But if we deny him, will we repent like Peter? Peter said, he acknowledged his sin. He repented, and then he followed Jesus, right, after the resurrection. But St. John Evangelist, he was following our Lord. He processed to the cross. But I know he had help. He had a lot of help. They say that when Jesus was at the Last Supper, he leaned on Jesus, on his chest. He leaned on Jesus at the Last Supper. And he said, "Who is it, Lord?" They say, when Jesus said, "Someone is going to betray me," he leaned on Jesus. And they say that when he leaned on Jesus' chest, his sacred heart, God gave him some extra grace. He's like, "All right, I'm going to give you some extra graces." Yes. To strengthen his faith, he gave him some extra graces. When he leaned on Jesus, he wanted to be right next to Jesus. When he was at the Last Supper, he was right next to him. Right? He wanted to be the closest to our Lord. How about us? Do you want to be the closest to Jesus? Amen?
Amen.
And then Our Lady, she strengthened him to process. He saw the Blessed Mother, and he walked with her. And I think that she really gave him the courage to follow Jesus. He got those extra graces, but I believe, in my personal opinion, that by her being there, she was the one who gave him the courage to follow Jesus. Even though the soldiers were there, and they could say, "Hey, I recognize you. You're going to be crucified too." Right? But he didn't succumb to his fear. He followed Jesus all the way to the cross, and he was there. He was there at his crucifixion. He didn't stop the procession. He didn't stop believing. And there he was. So our Lord calls us to celebrate the victory of Christ. But this is a time for us to not stop processing. And I invite you, my brothers and sisters of Christ, we have six of our saints-to-be in the back there, right? We have these six paintings. And we want them to be canonized. Amen?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
We want them to be beatified and canonized by the church. But they need our help. We're the ones that's going to help them. We're the ones that's going to help them be canonized. Amen?
Yes.
So we're not going to be spectators, right? We want to participate. We want to be participators, not spectators. And the way we help them is we ask for their intercession. When we ask for their intercession, we say we need a miracle to happen. If we need a miracle to happen, let's call out to them. Ask for intercession. Any of them, any of the six you want, right? Ask for intercession. And when that miracle happens, we can acknowledge that a miracle happened through their intercession. And when we do that, we can send that letter to the Vatican. We can send it to Rome, right? We can be the ones that can help them be canonized as saints. Because that's the process. That's how it works. The way it works is we ask for intercession. The way it works is we promote their cause. We tell other people, other of our brothers and sisters Christ, we say, this is someone that is holy, that's a saint, but they're not canonized yet. Will you pray and ask for intercession? We can spread the word to get them canonized. That's part of the procession that our Lord wants us to participate in. It doesn't end just by what I just said, praying, going to confession, you know, coming to Mass. They're also helping them be canonized. That's what we can do to glorify God. That's the way we can do. We can acknowledge Christ as King. Right? We acknowledge Christ as King in the whole Eucharist. We acknowledge Christ as King in Our Lady, the saints, the apostles. Right? But we acknowledge Christ as King in them, the holy, saintly six. We can help Christ, you know, reveal their sanctity, their holiness to the world, right? To have our first Black American saints. But we are the ones who can help them to be canonized. And that's what we ought to do. We should help them in their cause and ask for their intercessions. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.